CliffCentral.com. Good morning, everybody. Yes, we are live. On a Monday morning, we made it. Made it through the weekend. Aren't you proud of yourself?
I'm surprised every day.
Are you?
Yep, every single day. Still here.
Still here. Still going at it. Still strong. All right, well, we have a bumper show lined up for you today. There's a whole lot happening, and we'll get to all of that in a short while. Leanne and Bakabantu are here with me in the studio. It is the start of a brand new week. How was your weekend? How was yours? You start off, Bakabantu. How was yours?
My weekend was pretty great. Besides that, yesterday morning, I woke up with a splitting headache, and I've been having one since. So I don't know.
Called Puza, and it's a hangover.
No. I've quit drinking. I'm 2 weeks sober.
Well, that's really? Probably why. Yeah. It's like a detox, maybe.
Yeah, your brain is actually getting rid of all those toxic things.
It's terrible.
Yeah. Leanne wouldn't know. She's never done it.
No, I don't know. I've read about it. That's why I've never done it.
No, Leanne, it's great. People say don't quit. Once you start something, don't quit. Commit. You're doing
it. That's it all the way. Start to finish.
I heard a terrible story about two alcoholics.
Oh, dear. You're ready to start my Monday.
Who got chucked out of a bar, somewhere here in Joburg the other day. I was imagine how bad you have to be as an alcoholic to get chucked out of a bar. Because they know you're a solid customer.
Yeah.
If you're an alcoholic, you are coming there to spend and to make full use of their services.
Yeah, you don't even have to get their order. You know what they're going to have.
Right.
Everything.
They're like the regular.
Yeah.
Like, okay, these people are coming in. There's business today, guys. There's lots. They're going to spend whatever they earned this week on the puza because they're alcoholics. And they threw them out. They must have behaved so badly.
It must be when you do the proportions, the amount they're spending here and the amount they're going to cost us.
Yeah, the amount. They're not worth the amount of shit that we're going to get from them.
Yeah. Yes. It's not like in Australia and more civil countries.
Civil,
in
boring.
In some places.
Yeah.
But there, they're not allowed to serve alcohol to drunk people.
Wait, do they breathalyze you before you walk into the bar? Walk us through this.
Yeah.
No, it's very sad. They're losing a lot of money, but that's their problem.
Well, in Australia, they don't want people to smoke cigarettes.
No, but what they do is in Australia, the barman will actually say to you, sorry, you've had enough.
Yeah, they will.
Whoa.
Yeah. Can you imagine telling a South African you've had enough? There'd be a fight every fucking day. There'd be a fight.
You think people would throw
insane?
Yeah. But funny enough, Panyaza Lusufi is also on that tip.
Is he an alcoholic?
No, no. No. He's going for an alcohol-free South Africa.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then he signed a deal with Heineken, which
is... Yeah, what an asshole. I mean, does anyone take that guy seriously?
Any news headline, his name has to be a byline.
Listen, he's certainly good at getting attention, but for all the wrong reasons.
Yep.
And he's like one of those people who, when there's a death, they suddenly pitch up. You know that those people love drama, right? They will always phone you when something shit happens. They'll never phone you when the good thing. Oh, I'm so sorry about your dog. You're like, oh, thanks, Panyaza.
You also got that text.
Oh, do you know what I got over the weekend? On Saturday, I got Musi Maimane's voice note.
Yes, so did I. Oh, no. Oh. Mine wasn't his. Mine was from Steenkamp.
Steenhuisen. Potato, potato. It doesn't matter.
I've had
cares.
So many calls from the DA. It's ridiculous.
Look at Simpiwe, gathering books and sorting things out. And let me change cameras here so you can fix that. There's Leanne. Now watch. We're going to change the way that she looks here. Oh. Put a whole bunch of...
Could it get any better?
Of course. There we go. Look, we've got angles on you and everything.
Wow, look at
now
that.
Now you have your own little screen. So on Saturday at around, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, my phone rings.
Oh, is it? Yeah, yeah.
Mm. And then I answer it, and it's like, hi, this is Musi Maimane. I want you to know that you must register blah, blah, blah to vote. I'm like, how did you get my number? I don't like that. I really don't like it.
Everyone's got our numbers.
It feels I know, but what do we have this? What do we have the Protection of Personal Information Act for? The Poppy Act. Why do we have it?
We're all asking ourselves that question, Gareth. It's like when Musi also used to cold call you, hi, this is a message from Musi Maimane. I'm like, no, I don't want to listen to a message from Musi Maimane.
No, neither do I. I don't want to hear from any politicians, frankly, especially over the weekend.
Yeah.
If you want me to get cross, send me a politician's voice note over a weekend.
But it was registration weekend.
I know. And, yeah, and like, I put up a little thing on Instagram to tell people. I went and checked that I am, and I'm still registered. Thank goodness.
So I also like blasted my social media with this, Leanne, right?
Did you?
But now I read an article with the IEC. Apparently they're aiming for, because I saw your post, Gareth, about like people registered, people who voted, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then...
It was actually, I posted News 24, which I can't stand them, but they said something sensible. So they said, everybody needs to understand the numbers here.
Yeah.
Like more people did not vote than voted for the ANC in the last election.
Exactly, which means they don't have a majority. But anyway, so the IEC is like, with this entire campaign, they're hoping to reach 1 million people. I'm like, those numbers don't make sense. You guys are only hoping to reach 1 million people. That's their best goal.
Yeah, I mean... I don't think the IEC is a particularly ambitious group of people. I mean, I don't know who, like, how do they recruit? I don't know how many of them are political actors, for example. I mean, they should be the independent. It's the first word of their name. Independent Electoral Commission. And whether they are or not is also up for debate, you know. Yeah. But if you did register this weekend, good for you. Because everybody realizes, like, actually, you need to have a stake in the future.
Yeah.
So I don't care if you haven't decided who you're going to vote for yet. I don't care if you... aren't going to change your vote. You're going to vote for the same people. Or if you're even going to go and spoil your ballot.
Yeah.
But we need to know how many people in this country care enough to get involved.
Yeah.
Because those same people can't then bitch and moan and have service delivery protests and set tires on fire in the road because they're cross that they didn't get the government that they think they deserve.
Yep.
Because you do get the government you deserve. If you don't vote, you don't deserve a government.
And a shout out to KZN who did not register. Apparently they had like a very low turnout.
Oh, really?
Meanwhile, they have like a blockade of trucks in like what? I don't know. Like is it Pietermaritzburg or something like that? Or Richards Bay. That's where the blockade of trucks is. I'm like...
That place is so screwed. I mean, we had the DA's premier candidate, Chris Pappas, in here the other day. He's a very impressive guy. Everybody seems to like him.
He's the guy
you met him, right?
Speaks Zulu, right?
Yeah, he speaks fluent Zulu. He's fantastic. And not because he speaks fluent Zulu.
No.
Actually a hardworking son of a bitch. And you could tell he like really wants to, he wants to be premier.
Yeah.
Like, are you crazy? Because always the first thing I see of these people is I go, there's got to be some mental illness for you to want to run for premier or president.
But it takes certain people. It's like with paramedics. There's a certain type of person that'll be a paramedic.
Yeah.
Like Michael Flax.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like they're a little bit twisted.
Well, listen to this. Jason says his friend got a Julius voice note over the weekend.
Yo, that must be traumatic.
Imagine. How are you?
Are you white or black?
Yeah, if you are white, press one.
You press one.
If you are black, press 10. Yeah. You're like, you can't press 10.
10 points for you.
Yeah. Like, if you are black... If you're, I'm sure you seem to like kill the boy if you like if you press one.
Yeah. You get like an insult. Imagine if you could be, you could subscribe to some voice note thing where you get insulted by politicians. Yeah. How demoralizing must that be? All right, so here's something interesting. Carlos says, "Happy Monday, G. Your betting track record is not looking great." Well, yes, because as I understand it, and we'll get to this in the sport later on. India did not win the World Cup of Cricket.
No, they did not.
Which is unbelievable. And even Ben was laughing at me on Friday. He's like, oh, your money's safe. You could have bet that 10 years ago. You would have been safe. I'm like, oh, really? So clearly not. Anyway, well done to Australia. They needed shame. They really needed, after their World Cup rugby performance, they needed some kind of upper. Mm. But it is like Southern Hemisphere time. So we'll take it.
Yeah.
And it's not like we had a chance there anyway because we screwed up against Australia.
We still got quite far. I mean,
listen, you're not talking to sports geniuses here in the studio this morning, so we're just going to leave that alone. But I did lose money on that too. So as far as I can tell, my betting days are numbered.
Yeah.
Like I'm just not good at this. Everything I bet on.
It's important because you have to put in the money that the other people are winning.
Winning, exactly. You have to like.
I know.
So you've got an important role.
I've realized like there are a couple of things I'm not good at and gambling is just not, I'm not good at it.
No, not good
I'm
at that at all.
I'm shitty at gambling.
Card games, things like that.
I just shouldn't play those things. Because it always, I've won, maybe out of every 10 that I ever do, I win one. And it's not even the house sometimes. If you're playing poker against your friends, and it's always them winning, you're like, why am I pouring money into this? This is not good. And we're not talking lots of money.
Yeah.
It's just irritating to lose. You know that they've done all the research they could on the human condition and how we feel about things. You feel worse about losing than you would feel good about winning.
Yeah.
In any given situation. Humans are so averse to loss. Like if I gave you R100 but I stole your hammer, you'd be upset about your hammer being stolen and you'd be like, oh, well, R100. Yeah, okay, thanks. But like,
I think the feeling of a loss runs longer than the feeling of a win.
It definitely does. Definitely. Anyway, so how can anyone expect the government to be held accountable when one cannot even register to vote? Well, that's only in KZN, and that place is just run like, you know, like a, you know, they always say like a spaza shop, but a spaza shop is run properly.
Yeah, as a spaza shop makes money.
Yeah, I interviewed Canthan on Friday, and he said that there's this derisory kind of comparison to a spaza shop, which isn't fair, because spaza shops are actually run very well by people who know what they're doing. They know how to price, they know how much stock they've got, they know how much is in the till.
And now the cops are on all the expired goods.
Oh my God, can you imagine being a policeman and that's your job? We have a country with real problems and there's now some police directive out there that you must go and check for expired goods.
But it's not just expired goods. Apparently it's counterfeit goods and these, like, these poisonings, right?
Poisoned, yeah.
These kids keep getting poisoned.
I know, but still. I mean, really, that this should be the police that have to do this.
Yeah, because we have because we don't have what... what's that bill?
But we used to have like a food bureau. Yeah,
exactly.
Like
food health or whatnot.
In America, they have the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration. Mm. They're obviously very involved in the drugs and not so much in the food.
Very busy with the drugs.
I know. A joking atheist says, I gambled on marriage and I lost. I still don't know why.
Are you still in the marriage?
Well, if he is, it's not going to be for long when she hears about this. Oh, okay. I'm such a hater. I was rooting for the fall of India. Loved seeing them lose after having an unbeaten run in the tournament. Well, yeah, there were people who were predicting that. It, unfortunately, it wasn't me. Otherwise, I would have won.
We were in a restaurant yesterday.
Yeah.
And my mum was talking to her carer quietly at the table about the cricket. And she sometimes loses her filter. And she shouted out loudly, I hate the Indians. And there was no context for anyone who was listening. I'm like, Mom, please, where's your filter?
Indian cricket team, yeah. Mom.
I know. My mom's carer was like, Nola, only in the house. Only in the house when the cricket's on.
Yeah, but she can always claim she had a stroke and she doesn't know what she's
talking
about.
Yeah, she plays that card often. Like
Joe Biden should be claiming that. Jesus. I saw him walking around with President Xi of China on some news program over the weekend because Xi was in San Francisco and in California. Anyway, Biden's walking around with him. And Biden, I'm sure he's got like a back brace or something because he walks so stiff.
Yeah.
You'd think like there's something there.
He's a corset, like corset.
Yeah, he's got like some kind of stabilizing thing. No one walks like that.
Do you know who Biden's doctor is? He's probably like shooting him up with a lot of stuff.
That doctor who kept Elvis alive with all the drugs, you know?
Exactly. I saw a video of him.
Dr. Nick.
He walks from the podium and he's confused.
And then Kamala's like,
Joe, come. And then someone had to point. And then he's like,
yeah. He needs a minder. Your mom's got a carer. Joe Biden needs a carer.
Yeah.
But he's running America. And
he's the guy, like, if we have to depend on someone to stop World War III, it's supposed to be him.
No.
Mm-mm. Fuck, we're in trouble. Big trouble.
That's bad.
Leader of the free world, guys.
I know. Can't even get his pudding to his mouth. He can't. He doesn't know what he's doing. All right, so let's look at some of the stuff in the news today. Always good to see what's going on in the world. And we may as well begin with, what do you want to start with? What are you most interested in here in the news?
The fact that no one is there to greet the Proteas and they are surprised.
Wow, shame. Oh, you see, that's just so shit. I mean, look, I feel sorry for them, but I didn't even go to see the Springboks in. So
exactly.
I'm not the guy. But yeah, that is, you know, are we meant to be charitable about this?
So this was the big question over the weekend when I was talking to a friend. I'm like, okay, cool. Well, are we supposed to reward, fourth
losers.
Place? Yeah, exactly. Losers. Like a bunch of losers. Are we supposed to reward them? Only polite? Like, why would we go? Like, you guys had
shame.
One job.
I saw Tembo Bavuma, that someone put a thing of Tembo Bavuma up and said, when you order a Springbok captain on Wish.
See, I can't.
And he's been getting hate right throughout. Yeah, he's been getting hate right throughout.
Well, if you win, people love you.
Yeah.
I mean, then, right now, there is not a home. Sia Kolisi could walk into anyone's home and raid their fridge right now, and they'd be thrilled. They'd be like, oh, Sia Kolisi came in and raided my fridge. If Temba Bavuma came in, they'd beat him.
Well, speaking about raids, I don't know if we talked about this last week. Did you see they raided the South African rugby offices?
No.
But they didn't steal the Alice Webb, but like they stole like a bunch of
thieves. Yeah, thieves broke in.
Yeah. Like, they broke in and they stole, like, a bunch of stuff, but they didn't, like, computers and whatnot, but they didn't steal actual, like, the cup. Wow. And the cup was, like, safe. But, yeah, we congratulated, though, the Bafana Bafana team when they left for the qualifiers.
I know, shame.
Okay, so then we're like, go, boys!
Yeah, I mean, really, Bafana and the Proteas are just, like, a great disappointment. It's like one of your kids is supremely talented and works hard and gets all the results and just wins. And your two other children are like basically retarded.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, in my case with my family, we tend to jostle around a bit. So sometimes when one's doing badly, the other one's doing well. So maybe it'll change.
Yeah, I'm trying to swap places, but I don't think so. I mean,
like it'll never be my fault.
You see, the point is also and. You it's not when you are on the field playing with these sports people. It's the whole time. It's the mental prep. You know, there's there's that Protea symbol with the artichoke because they're chokers, right? Mm. And a lot of it is in their heads. And the Springboks have just got this impenetrable wall of like success and power and talent and we're going to win and they've got a coach that believes in the team and the team believes in the coach. And there's just this healthy relationship.
Well, there's been like a 10-year build-up in their plans.
Not with the Proteas. I mean, it's just...
But they have a strategy.
It's horrible. Anyway, somebody says, Joe Biden reminds Jason of a Leslie Nielsen in the scary movie when he's the president. That's exactly who it is. It's like Leslie Nielsen is the president. Yeah. God, I love Leslie Nielsen.
I love Eric.
Such a great actor. He's just so good. All right. That's on their PR team, though. No one even knew that they were coming. This is the Proteas. Mm. There are people who were willing to welcome them, but they didn't know. Like who?
Like
Zama, who wanted to come and greet them at the airport? Who? We're supposed to support them even if they lose, not reward them, says Karin. No, you see, you shouldn't.
No.
You shouldn't support them if they're
losing. It's that type of mentality. Like, you're rewarding mediocrity. And I say this as someone, like, I don't want to be rewarded for mediocrity. If I come back and I lose, I want my mom to tell me, oh, except, right, you lost, eh?
Yeah.
I don't want a participation medal. Oh, you tried.
Morning team, says Leanne. I went to the Coldplay concert in Perth last night. It was amazing. We had these plastic wristbands that lit up and formed part of the show. So cool. Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. No, they're quite into their tech stuff.
I don't know, Leanne, you were
in Perth. You also managed to get to Perth?
Just got back.
Oh, yes. Nice job. That's very good. Okay, so what should we do? Shall we start off with, here's a story in the news for you. Apparently, and we'll get to some sport in a minute because we already kind of covered some of that stuff. A New York collector has put money on the iconic artist Esther Mahlangu, who we spoke about just the other day. Mm. Right? We were talking about Esther and how well she's doing and her... hang on. I've just gone out of the studio for some reason.
Oh, bye. Thanks for coming.
Hang on. Coming back. Why this computer's behaving so badly this morning? All right. I think we're back. There we go. So apparently Esther Mahlangu's designs... apparently they shut down the Melrose Gallery in Johannesburg for an hour this week just so she could pose for 7 paintings that she sold to a private collector based in New York. How cool is that?
Sure.
The American bought a total of 37 paintings for a private collection. The largest of them was displayed on Wednesday for the photo shoot, which formed part of the authentication process. And the painting apparently fetched $100,000, which is 1.8 million rand. That is a good payday.
Yeah.
Yep.
Huh? Yep.
And she deserves it. She's an old lady now.
Yes. Makes you wonder if it could have been valued higher. I mean, where's the line?
Yeah, who does the valuation?
No, I think that's quite cool, though.
Yeah.
I mean, very, very good. Shame, Matthew says Temba's mom would have been there at the airport. You think?
Well, so she wasn't.
she didn't? That's what you're actually saying.
But, like, we're blaming the PR team, right, according to Zama. So if the PR team had advertised, Temba's mom would have pitched up.
Right. Do you want to tell us about Cameroon's president?
Yeah, I mean, you guys were complaining about Biden. We complain about ours.
Yeah.
There's this girl on TikTok who criticizes the presidents of Africa and compares them. She's mainly focused on Kenya, Nigeria, Cameroon. Yep. And she was just highlighting the Cameroon's president, the Cameroonian president. This incident that she highlighted was actually from December last year. Uh-huh. He was at some conference, some summit, and it was his turn to talk. He's sitting down in this row of chairs. His turn to talk. He's all mic'd up. Doesn't have a clue where he is. He's asking questions in French, like, where am I? Are there important people here?
What? Eventually, but this is Paul Biya, right?
Yes. Yeah. Eventually they said to him, okay, you can just sit where you are.
He's only, oh my God, he's 90 years old. I thought he was younger than that, but he's 90 years. Okay, so here he is.
So, and afterwards she goes on a bit if you want to hear some context.
All right, let's take a look. Here we go.
Watch this, guys.
Okay. Oh, he's old. You can hear that, right? He's asking if they're important people. Am I required to speak? But he's like, he's got a, that's a carer, right? That person who's with him.
Not the wife.
Oh my God. Okay, this goes on a little bit.
Yeah, he's like, why must I stand up here? Who are these people? Are there important people here?
Oh my God.
My Nigerian people, Ghana and Kenya. Stop complaining about your president. If you complain about your president, what do you expect our brothers and sisters in Cameroon to do? Do you think it is easy to be ruled by an ancestor? This man has been in power since 1982, when some of us were not yet born. Right now, he doesn't even know if he's a president or he is not a president. That was at the summit where all heads of state in Africa were there. They brought him in. He didn't even know where he was going to. He was asking, is there any important personality sitting here? He farted, as in he passed gas. He didn't even know where he is. Right now in Cameroon, he doesn't even know whether he's the president. He don't even know whether he's a man or he's a woman. But he's the president. How many presidents have ruled Nigeria? He's there. How many presidents have ruled Ghana? He's there. How many presidents have ruled Kenya? He's there. Kenya is there already thinking of impeaching President Ruto, who just came in yesterday. My Kenyan people, if you succeed, I beg, teach Cameroonians how you did it so that you can help them to let this their ancestor go and rest. They are seeing what they call Shege Pro Max. Yes, this like children who were born at the time when this man became the president, they have had children who have sense now. And he's still the president. And you are complaining about your own president. There is war there, killing of all English speakers in that country under this same president who doesn't even know if he's a president. So people should be praying for Cameroon, I beg. Stop complaining. You are fine.
I like her. She's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can be grateful in some aspects. Mm. Would you rather?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's really a terrible.
Isn't there a race for last place?
He farted.
Yeah, if you've got to turn the volume right up, but it's like
Yeah, he got the death rattle. That's what he kept on mentioning, Gareth. He's got this.
Yeah. Somebody said in the comments he sounds like Darth Vader.
Yeah.
Jeez. I mean, come on, and the people are still voting for him.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know that they've had free and fair elections.
Free and fair.
Give him a little bit of credit. All right, well, there's that happening, believe it or not. But he's still alive and he's still there.
Still there.
Now, there's this brilliant Napoleon movie coming out soon. Ridley Scott's movie with Joaquin Phoenix as Napoleon. Yo, can I not wait to go and see that? Apparently, it is absolutely fantastic. I've read the reviews.
So will you actually go and watch it on the big screen?
I probably would. This is one of those things that would get me there. I mean, first of all, Ridley Scott's always good, right?
Yeah.
Always. I can't think of a shit movie he made. There probably are some, but I can't think of them now.
Yeah.
And to have Napoleon as the – you know that more books have been written about Napoleon than almost any other leader in history. I wonder why. People are obsessed with this guy. Very much a rags-to-riches story. Yeah. I mean, I went and saw his house that he was born in Corsica, when I was there about 4 years ago. And it's really not special.
Well, I mean, that's where he was born. So he wasn't born from a lot.
No, and he wasn't even French. I mean, the Corsicans don't consider themselves French. And the French have – he was always teased, Napoleon, about his accent because he didn't sound French. Mm. He sounded Corsican. And he was a very talented military strategist and general. He was in the artillery, had a couple of really early wins and did brave things. I mean, he was certainly not afraid, but it's just – it absolutely boggles my mind that – out of all the people who've lived, Napoleon seems to be one of those that people just can't get enough of. They just love hearing about him, reading about him, making movies, TV series. I mean, when movies had just been invented as a format, it took like 3 weeks and someone was making a Napoleon movie. It's just amazing.
Yeah.
And you think he died in the middle of the Atlantic.
He died?
In the middle of on St. Helena Island, which you can only get to from South Africa. They only started flying there recently. Hmm. There used to be a ship that went there once a month or something.
Yeah.
And it's a totally isolated community. And there's this house there called Longwood House where he died. And he was buried there.
What was he doing there?
He was in exile because after Waterloo, the British sent him to a place where he couldn't. He was so dangerous that they needed to send him to the furthest possible place where no one would get him.
Basically, like Antarctica.
Yeah. So rags to riches to absolute
I was going to say, maybe that's what's inspiring people, right? It's that story, rags to riches, like born from nothing, achieved everything, basically conquered the known world to him at the time. And then also, great military mind, but he also walked the walk, right?
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Big time. And you think about how, you know, his love affair with Josephine, the fact that he went into Russia in the winter, which was a terrible idea, still is. Even Hitler didn't learn that lesson. You think about the fact that he invented the French Empire out of whole cloth. He was obsessed with ancient Rome, like it turns out most men in the world. And he actually was crowned emperor in 1804. I mean, great, great story. So I can't wait to see the movie. And everybody says he was so short. He wasn't actually.
He wasn't.
Pablo says Napoleon was super short and he overachieved for a man of his stature. Well, actually, he wasn't so short. That was like a English propaganda thing. The British had a lot of cartoonists and, you know, sort of parody and satire magazines and publications. They would make fun of Napoleon being very, very short, but he probably wasn't that short. He was probably 5 foot something. And at the time, that was pretty average.
Average or just above average from what I've read.
5'7" or whatever. So he wasn't tiny, you know, little dwarf running under tables or anything. Tracy says, if the trailer of Napoleon is anything to go by, it's going to be fantastic. I'm so tired of Marvel and superhero movies. Me too. Count me out for any more Marvel. Apparently, the latest Marvel movie has tanked horribly. It's lost them all the money.
Sure. And like
people are sick of it, man.
Yeah, people are sick of it. But like this one, Gareth, the reason why it's so like incredible that it tanked, it's because the previous one, so it's a sequel to Captain Marvel. Number one, they changed the name.
And Captain Marvel was good.
Yeah, it didn't it did 1.2 bill.
Right. I mean, it didn't fail.
Yeah, it didn't fail. Right. It did 1.2 bill, one of the highest grossing Marvel movies ever. And this one, it's barely going to crack 500 mil.
Well,
it's going to be a loss.
You kind of get what you deserve. I think people are just over these superhero movies. Have you seen any of them?
No, I don't think fantasy stuff. I would much rather watch the Napoleon movie over something like that. There's enough in the world to learn than to go and replace that learning space with fantasy. Every now and then it's okay, but to like live your whole life by it, ugh.
This is an interesting question from Carl. How come all the famous leaders are known by their surnames except for Napoleon?
That's interesting because we don't call him Bonaparte.
Well, it might be because he was a crowned head. Mm. You know, often the first
like
names.
Prince Charles.
So the first names are usually for people who've been crowned, who are royal or imperial. But otherwise, if they're politicians, then you usually know them by their surname. But it's interesting. Buonaparte. Again, like this Corsican, half Italian, half French thing. Watch Napoleon Dynamite first, then the new movie. Cult classic, says Mic Drop. Yes, I love Napoleon Dynamite as well. I think that's great. Okay, so let's get to some sport. Leanne, believe it or not, is who we've had to draft in for the sport this morning. So go on,
in
take it away.
In the land of the blind.
Yeah,
one-eyed is king.
I'll tell you what, you do the sport, I'm going to blow my nose. It's driving me crazy. Okay. Go ahead.
All right, well, so just quickly looking at the results over the weekend, sent to us by Ben, and cricket. Let's start off the one that we know. So Australia, as we know, thrashed India by 6 wickets for a famous underdog win in the final yesterday. In the United Rugby Championship, Edinburgh were 31 against the Bulls at 23, yeah. Ulster 24-17 against the Lions. The Sharks 12-13, and is it Connacht that we say? How do we pronounce this sports team? C-O-N-N-A-C-H-T.
Connacht.
Connacht. Sharks 12, Connacht 13, Munster 10 against the Stormers at 3.
It's actually Munster. No, I'm joking.
Oh my gosh, don't.
Munster.
In the golf DP World Tour Championship,
yes.
Nikolai Højgaard wins by 2 shots.
Ah, he's the guy I bet on in the Nedbank Golf Challenge and didn't win. So again, don't follow me, anybody.
No, don't follow in his footsteps. Rory McIlroy won the overall Race to Dubai standings. Mm-hmm. The Las Vegas Formula One, very flashy. Verstappen won his 18th race win of the year. And in the FIFA World Cup qualifiers, Bafana Bafana beat Benin 2-1 in the opening match.
Well, thank God
That's a plus.
We'll take it. Thank you.
And that's it. That was your Beyond the Scoreboard weekend sports recap with Superbase. We stuck to the scoreboard. We didn't go much beyond it.
No.
But we'll stick to our knitting.
Leanne's in no position to take us beyond the scoreboard for this morning. And we know what Bakabantu sports like, so we're not even going to try
I don't want
that.
To touch it.
Yeah, no, hell. All right, very good. And of course, with Superbets, you can get the chance to bet a little bit better than me. Just go along to superbets.co.za. You can follow the links through on cliffcentral.com. You'll even get a 50 Rand off if you go and start now, if you haven't signed up yet. So lots of fun. Definitely worth trying, even if you're just unlucky like me. I mean, you could bet on everything. Formula One, golf.
I think you're bearing the lead here, Gary. I think you should give advice and people should follow the opposite.
Opposite, right. Yeah. Okay, so that's very good. That's a very good plan. I am going to say who you should be betting on Friday, and then do not do that. Go the opposite way and then you'll win. Okay? That's pretty much it. Gavin says, oh my, make us proud, Leanne.
Oh dear.
Yeah, there we go.
I didn't give you much time to criticize. I just got it over and done with, right?
You did fine. India lost just like the Proteas, but oh, that silence in the stadium. Well, it was a sea of Indian cricket shirts, hey? Mm. I mean, I think if you were selling Indian cricket shirts this weekend in India, yes, you would have made money. You could have retired. You're probably a billionaire just on like, because if only every fifth guy in India buys one, you still have billions.
Exactly.
Right?
Because they are billionaires.
It's just amazing.
Sure.
All right. So no one's coming to Cliff Central for sport. Just stop, please. Well, we have to give you the results because that's what people are talking about this morning. So, Carl, next time you do it, we'll get you, we'll draft you in to do the sport. All right. Let's look at some other stuff because we've got Dr. Hanan coming in a short while from now. Going to get to him just now. We're talking about Napoleon just now. So this hat went on auction. Did you see this?
Mm-hmm.
This is Napoleon's actual hat. And it is up on sale. If anybody's interested, I know that there could be someone very rich listening to us this morning who's like a massive Napoleon fan. And apparently this hat is going up for sale. 1.9 million euros is what it fetched. 40 million rand at an auction in Paris. Apparently, the bicorn, which is the kind of style of hat this is, black beaver felt hat, was valued between 600,000 and 800,000. The person who bought the hat does not want to be known, not surprisingly. Historians say the hat was part of his brand. Wearing it sideways made him recognizable in battle. He owned about 120 bicorn hats over the years.
Oh.
So it's not even that special. Well, sure. It's possibly the hat. Who knows? Could have worn this one at Waterloo for all we know. But That's a lot of money, huh? 1.2 million euros. Yes, sus.
For like a centerpiece to talk about, like, ah, Leanne, come to my house.
I mean,
like,
it must be a hell of a thing. You pull that out at a dinner party. Like, what are you going to dress up as? Well, oh, Napoleon. Really? What are you going to wear? Well, I mean, wear his actual hat.
Yeah.
So there we go. Other items being sold include a silver plate looted from Napoleon's carriage after his 1815 defeat at Waterloo, and a wooden vanity case that he owned with razors, a silver toothbrush, scissors, and other belongings.
Ooh, an old toothbrush.
I don't know if I'd want Napoleon's old toothbrush. I have to be honest with you.
Remember when we went to that Victorian house?
Oh my God, yes.
And she lived in that house and like bathed in it and slept in it. And on her dressing table, there were these old brushes, and she used to use the old toothbrushes and brushes in that house.
Yeah, she lived like a Victorian person would have at the turn of the century, the 1900s to 2000s.
I don't want to have anything to do with dead people's hair and plaque.
No, it's gross. Mm. I mean, I don't know. I mean, like, there's some things that you wouldn't want to own. Because to me, like, someone's toothbrush, doesn't matter how much you admire that person or how much you're into artifacts from history.
Well, it is silver, Gareth, so maybe there's some value.
Well, you melt it down, I suppose, but I don't know if I'd want the toothbrush, I got to say.
There's this joke on Succession, Leanne. You mentioned it like a couple of weeks back.
Yeah.
He spends almost $1 million on Napoleon's penis.
On Succession?
Yeah, on Succession. There's this one guy, he almost spends $1 million, and he finds out that it's not his actual penis.
I don't even remember that part. Like,
and he spent $1 million.
He spent $1 million on it. And it's like
in a jar.
Yeah, in a jar.
Oh. Oh, thanks.
So, yeah, I mean, Rebellious Ruth says, or underwear. I wouldn't want to buy some famous person from history's underwear.
Yeah.
Imagine, here are Hitler's underpants. What are you to do with that?
There are quite a few channels I follow now with girls who are wearing old Victorian clothing, but real, like that other people used to wear. And they're putting on their knickers and their corsets.
I like that.
And their petticoats. And they're not cream or white anymore. They're greige.
Greige. Mm. Ugh, because they've just faded over time?
Yeah.
Mm. I just don't. Some stuff, you never need to keep socks and underwear.
Like linen.
Beyond your life. Just get rid of those things. It's not necessary. We don't need it.
Also, you don't borrow socks, people. I don't know, like public service announcement. Like someone
who
borrows
socks?
Can I borrow a pair of your socks? No.
Who borrows socks?
No, this is like back in high school and what? Like, nah, can
yeah,
I, no.
No, then we would.
No.
But then I don't want them back.
Yeah, okay, yeah, you keep them. But still, I don't want my sweat touching your sweat and then with, no.
Even siblings. I mean, there's some sisters who'll share shoes and I'm not into that really.
Sure. But like, did you know these couples that like use the same toothbrush?
Yes.
Okay, that's revolting. Yeah, do people really do that?
Yes.
Like
they'll leave a toothbrush in the shower that they both use.
No.
Mm-hmm.
But like you kiss, Gareth.
No.
Yeah, but like, I know, but that's different. In my head, it's a different thing.
Yeah, it has like to be, right?
Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't. Yeah, I wouldn't want to share someone's toothbrush ever. There's doesn't matter how much you
like
love it.
It's like sharing
them.
Toilet paper that's Mm-mm. been used.
Oh, yeah.
It is.
No, it's not. I know, but like, yo, I can't even. Sure. Okay, cool. So like, there's this weird stat about you wouldn't drink like half a cup of saliva, right? But apparently that's like a kiss, like we're arranging 5 minutes or so, you exchange
half a cup.
Half a cup of saliva.
God, this makes me just want to be single forever.
I know.
Half a cup of saliva.
That's
like,
how.
Because if I held a gun to your head and say you have to drink half a cup of saliva, you'd say like, just shoot me, right? But if you think about it, when you're kissing, that's what you're exchanging, and it's like.
So would you rather drink half a cup of saliva or kiss someone really ugly for 5 minutes?
Who's the saliva from?
Okay, you get
a hot person.
A hot person, yeah.
Oh, it's still so gross, but to actually have to kiss it, kiss someone fucking ugly.
For 5 minutes.
Okay, cool. Kiss Amy Schumer or drink Whitney Houston's a cup of saliva.
But she's been dead for how long?
Yeah.
No. Okay, back when she was still alive, like bodyguard Whitney Houston, hot Whitney Houston.
Yeah. I think I'd have to do the Whitney. What a disgusting.
But remember, like she was shooting up,
would you
right?
rather this is? Yeah, I mean, I'd probably get like a high for 6 weeks after that.
Yeah.
You're like, wow, the world is great. Whitney Houston. When she was on the crack.
Bobby, I love you.
Crack is whack. That was the original. Hey, load shedding has gone back to 1997.
Yeah, it has.
No one currently at Eskom is to blame. This according to Electricity Minister José Enzo Ramajopa, right? He says, load shedding started in 97 and one, no one, no. He says, nobody currently running Eskom should be blamed. Yes. How convenient for you.
Loved the story when I read
yeah.
it.
He said the governing party's choices and energy had finally caught up with them. Oh, really? Oh, okay.
So no one's to blame, but even though you're...
But the ruling party is actually, just by your own words.
Exactly.
He told MPs on Wednesday, no individual should be singled out for the load shedding crisis, saying his main task was to solve the problem. They just will never... The ANC will never get this idea of personal responsibility. It's just not in their... They're not in their DNA.
Acknowledging that you have a problem is the first step of solving a problem, Mr. Yeah. Minister.
Yeah.
And you guys literally don't see it.
You need help.
Have you guys been affected by the city of Joburg? You're in Pretoria, Gareth, so maybe not. But the city of Joburg has now taken over load shedding in Joburg.
Oh, really?
And it's a little chaotic, I must say.
Why? It's all over the place.
Yeah,
it's all unpredictable.
The areas have changed, the zones. Sometimes it's load shedding three times a day. Then a substation blew up in Rosebank and that's had people without power for four days or maybe 3 days. No one knows what's going on anymore. I think Eskom's the push app guys are like...
They must be working harder than Eskom to try and figure this out.
Exactly.
It's just... this is not surprising. I remember I wrote a letter to the president. This is now 13 years ago, maybe more. And... Alec Irwin was the Minister of Public Enterprises. He was Thabo Mbeki's Minister of Public Enterprises. He was a useless son of a bitch. Had nothing to contribute. I mean, he will never... No one's going to... I'm the only person who's ever mentioned his name this whole year, right? And I still said then in that letter, Eskom's a problem. Before we'd started with this term load shedding. So you don't... I might not be able to predict sports results, but this I could predict...
Man.
Oh, it's just unbelievable, right? Unbelievable. All right, we're going to check in with Dr. Hanan, which we do on a Monday, find out what he can do for us. And by the way, we've got something really interesting a little bit later on. The World Antimicrobial Awareness Week might sound really boring and weird, but actually, hospital-acquired infections are a major problem in South Africa and in the world at the moment. There is just so much going on there that we need to figure out. That the antibiotic resistant bacteria that we have now are deadly, and they cause. I mean, hospital is almost the worst place you could be.
That's the thing. You go in with one thing that's pretty simple, and you end up contracting these infections.
Yeah,
that can leave you there for months.
They want you out of that hospital as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
Because obviously it's the place where all of these bacteria
superbugs.
Are likely to be found. Those are the ones,
bacteria,
right?
Yeah, like called nosocomial infections. Yeah, they bad.
What are they called?
Pseudonomia.
Yeah, nosocomial infections. Oof. So basically they're resistant to the bleach that they use. They're resistant to any type of disinfection. And if they thrive in that environment, imagine what they can ravage in your body.
My God. Sounds horrible.
When you're already down.
Yep.
Yeah,
and you're already it's like so many people with hip replacements, Leanne.
I've heard.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Sepsis, yo.
Yeah, look at you, made it through.
Still
you should have a badge that says I did not get it a hospital acquired infection.
Yeah.
Hmm?
It's not. It's. I mean that the morning that I was being discharged, another man came back in with an infection.
Yeah.
See, so we'll talk to some experts, including Dr. Fatima Patel, a little bit later on. Find out all about this. But first, let's get to Dr. Hanan. Hello, Doc.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Very good. How are you this Monday morning?
Yeah, power.
Awesome.
The weather's good. Everyone's happy.
Yeah, I know. The weather of the weekend was so good. Huh?
It was hot.
Fantastic. It changes people's moods for sure. It changes people's mood.
It
winter
does, right?
Not good for people's mood.
Yeah. I mean,
not completely.
It doesn't take much to get me excited in summer. But in winter, I'm like a bear that needs to hibernate. Okay, so
not completely.
We have a question from Colin for you, okay? So Colin says, I've got three kids. They're aged 8, 5, and 2. Now, he has a job that requires precise actions, sharp timing, and a lot of pressure. I come home some days, my brain is firing at all cylinders, struggle to turn it off. For the 2 hours between coming home and their bedtime, I'm not able to calmly and rationally interact with the children at a level they deserve. First of all, I've got to give props to this dad for being honest about that. Mm. Most dads will just pretend they can do all these things and be a Superman. What is the tool to compartmentalize work mentality and happy family mindset? So that's a really good question. And I mean, you've got kids as well, so you can speak to this with some authority. But it's not an easy thing to deal with. And everybody obviously has different kids and different jobs. But I think this guy's being very honest about things. How can he start to sort it out?
So there are a couple of things here that I think will help him. Number one, we've got to recognize that in life, value is married to stress. The more value you accumulate in life, the more stress you accumulate in life. That's the way it works. So I value my marriage, it comes with stress. I value my kids, it comes with stress. I value my work, financial security, health. That comes with stress. You can't detangle the two. So if somebody truly had to ask me, Hanan, how do I eliminate stress from my life? Mm. The real answer is, well, eliminate everything that you value, which is not possible. And if it was, you just get depressed. So as we accumulate more of these elements or more of these things in our world, we accumulate more stress. And as the stress goes up, the framework in which you manage life has to be a lot more robust and specific.
Yeah.
Specifically to this particular question, obviously he's talking about two things that he values. He values obviously his work. I'm assuming that comes with financial security, a sense of purpose, and how does he manage his family situation? The reality is that you can't wing these things, because how many times have I said on the show, if you're not the chess player of your life, you're a pawn in someone else's. Mm-hmm. If you don't have a clear goal, you'll live out somebody else's goal. You want to know exactly what you want and what you expect out of each one of these elements. What do you want out of generally life? What do you want out of career? What do you want out of financial security? What do you want out of family? What do you want out of friends? Mm-hmm. What do you want out of your romantic partner? What do you want out of your diet, exercise, and sleep? These are the 8 elements. And you've got to define it specifically, because if you do not define it, then the world starts stealing time away from you. So what do I mean? As I've always said, value is dictated by the goal. Value can only be assessed by the context of a goal. So if I, and I've given you this analogy before, if I phone you up and I ask, hey, I want to ask for your advice, should I take a bus, should I take a car, should I fly, should I swim, should I crawl, what is the most amount of value? You're in return going to ask me, well, where are you going first? Mm. What's the goal? Because right. If you're going across the corridor, flying is crazy. If you're going across the country, swimming is ridiculous. You would want to know the goal first and then the strategy. Never just strategy first.
Okay.
Never. Strategy alone means nothing. So if somebody said to me, Hanan, I just had a whole tub of ice cream. Is that good or bad? My answer is, well, I don't know. What's the goal? If the goal is to lose weight, you did the wrong thing. If the goal is to gain weight, you did the right thing. The same thing could be good or bad depending on the goal. So back to the email. How much is adequate time to spend with your kids? How much is adequate time to spend at work? How much is adequate time should you spend on making money? Well, I would ask you a different question. Before we talk about what is adequate time, what is your goal? What do you want? Before I tell you whether 2 hours with your kids is enough or 10 hours is not enough. Before I tell you making 10 rand is enough or making 100,000 is not enough. Mm. You've got to know what is it that you want. Mm-hmm. So if you want to be an available father or an available husband, what do you need to do to satisfy that? If you want to make X amount of money, well, what do you need to sacrifice for that? I'll add one more thing before I leave the homework to him to assess what he wants. I always say setting goals is the hardest thing. And the reason why setting goals is the hardest thing is because it requires you, never mind it could potentially get you to fail, but it requires you to sacrifice. Setting goals requires you to sacrifice. The moment I commit to a goal, I have to let go of something else. The gods of goals requires you to let go and sacrifice something. So if I want to lose weight, I have to sacrifice the chocolate cake. If I want to be married, I have to sacrifice all the wonderful things that I could do as a singleton. If I want to live in Joburg, I have to sacrifice living in, well, anywhere else.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I use the analogy of monkey bars. If you're on a monkey bar and you want to move forward, that if you want to move forward, you have to
let go. Yeah.
You can't hold on and move forward. It just doesn't work. So if you want to set a goal, you have to sacrifice something. So to Colin, I would say, know what you want and be able to compromise and sacrifice something and live according to that. And I'll just mention, I'll keep on saying one more thing, but this is one more thing.
Yeah.
There's something beautiful that happens when you set goals, is that you're able to live a guilt-free life. The more specific your goals are, the less guilty you're going to feel. So what do I mean? If I set out a very general, airy-fairy, fluffy goal of, I want to be the best father that I can. Let's just say I set that goal. That is too general. Two hours will not be enough with my kids. 5 hours will never be enough. 25 hours will never be enough because I could always do more while I can give away my sleep. But the moment I commit to a particular goal and I say, for me to be the best father that I can be, I know taking everything into account, I'm going to spend 2 hours with my kids when I get home. Phone is off. I'm going to read the bedtime story. I'm going to engage with them for supper. But that's my goal, the 2 hours. Now, if I spend just that, I don't have to feel guilty. Guilt only comes when your goals are too general and fluffy. But the moment you commit to goals, you can play within those goals, and therefore guilt falls away.
That's amazing. This guilt thing is a whole other level that I hadn't thought about in terms of, because I like the monkey bar analogy, and you've told us about goal setting before, but this idea that if you, and guilt can really cripple people, hey? It really does. It spoils their entire existence because they're so completely held back by that guilt that they can never do anything.
I always think to explain to people what anxiety feels like who don't know what that feels like. It's like carrying intense guilt the whole time.
Yeah, I know people who are just guilt-riddled about things like not spending enough time with their kids or it's the worst thing. And you could do something about it. You can actually do something. Sure. You don't have to wallow.
Very much.
You know?
Very much so. Very much so. Very much so. And I'll tell you, guilt comes from two things happen. One, when your goals are unrealistic. So when you're expecting, for example, for you to spend, I don't know, 25 hours with the kids and you just can't do that, then you feel guilty. So when your goals are unrealistic. And two, when your goals are too fluffy, they're too general.
Yeah.
I want to be the best father that I can. I want to make as much money as I can. I want to be the best friend that I can. I want to be the best partner that I can. You'll never satisfy that and you will feel guilty. So you must be very specific and very realistic with your goal setting because you can act within those lines and not feel guilty.
You want to add anything to that?
No, I just wanted, how do you balance? I get what Dr. Anand is saying, that if you set a goal, then you don't feel the guilt. But 2 hours, and then you spend 2 hours with the kid, and then the kid grows up. How do you balance that? Dad only has to spend 2 hours. Is that just about teaching responsibility and staying disciplined? Because that seems a lot. From your side, when the kid comes back and is like, I miss you, Dad. How do you balance that? I have 2 hours for you. Done.
Yeah, I can tell you as a father, there's... And I guess the world will always expect more from you. Your boss will always expect more from you. Your kids will expect more from you. Your partner will expect more from you. Your health will expect more from you. People just expect more from you. But remember, you have a responsibility to your health. You have a responsibility to your spouse. You have a responsibility to your work, financial stability. You have a responsibility to all these different elements. And you can't just invest more time in one area and let the others fall apart. Remember, just about kids. Kids don't need quantity. They need quality.
Okay.
And that goes for any relationship.
That's handy.
Would rather spend 10 wonderful minutes with a best friend than, I'm sure you could relate, 2 hours not knowing what to talk about and she's looking into your watch and wishing you were home.
Oh, yeah.
So it's not about quantity. Yeah. It's about the quality.
There was a super nanny clip that I saw this weekend where – the super nanny was in the home of these people who have these kids and saw the little kid going over and saying, Mommy, can you play this game with me? And she said, no, I'm busy. Daddy, can you play this game with me? No, I'm busy. So the super nanny took the little girl to the bedroom and said, show me what game you want to play. And it was like a little 10-minute color in this and do that. And she took her downstairs and said, say to Mommy, this is going to be 10 minutes. Can we please play? And then you see the parents realizing they just needed 10 minutes of my undivided attention.
Yeah.
Not an hour.
Right.
Just 10 minutes of good quality.
Such a good example. Makes sense, right?
You know, I challenge all parents that are listening to this and are watching this to when you're with your kids, put down the phone and turn off the TV. I dare you. I actually don't challenge you. I dare you. I dare you. See what happens to your, the quality of your relationship with your kids. Well, I dare you. I dare you to focus on your child.
Listen, people can't even... I'm sometimes guilty of this. You sit at lunch or dinner with people and you're on your phone.
Mm.
You're like, why am I here with these people if I'm going to be on my phone? I chose to be here. I chose to spend time with these people. Why am I looking at my phone? Something better going to happen there? You know?
My favorite is how many of us, we watch TV, the big screen, while holding on the phone, watching the little screen at the same time.
Everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone. You're like, enjoy the, someone's made this movie, you know? Someone's made this for you
to. Nobody's forcing you to put it on. You put it on for a reason, but you're still watching the little screen.
It drives me mad.
God forbid you miss something.
I do it too. But it's, I don't know if we think we can, people multitask? Like as well as they think they can?
Never.
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 Anybody.
Never. Never. Look around the room. I challenge everybody. Look around the room. I'll give you 10 seconds to look around the room and pick how many red things you can see. How many red things can you see around the room right now? So count how many red, right? Now look 10. Back at the screen and tell me. Fine, so you've seen 10 things. Now look back at the screen and tell me how many green things did you see?
Zero, because I was looking at the red.
Right. Red. Yeah. No.
Your brain can't focus on two things at the same time.
So when someone says that they can multitask, because I admit that I can't, right? And I don't even try. Like I do many things while the show's going on, but some of them are just autonomic. They, you know, it's switching this on, changing that.
Exactly.
Adjusting this.
It's like driving with pedals and
correct.
Gears.
So it's like driving, but you can also listen to a podcast while you drive, for example. That's not really multitasking. Exactly. Multitasking is actually being focused on two things at once. Impossible.
Impossible.
Okay.
Impossible. And by the way, your kids need your attention. Your kids don't need you to be a robot and multitask. Because, you know, like when you're speaking to somebody and you know they're not listening, they're just going, yeah, fine, thanks, and you, yes, yeah. There's no quality in the interaction.
Yeah.
Your kids don't need you as a robot. They want mom. They want dad. They want you to interact. They want your intellect. They want your knowledge. They want your acknowledgement. They want your value. Jeez. They want your touch. They, you know, just be there.
You know,
be there. Focus. Let everything else go.
I don't think anyone is ever going to remember that they couldn't buy this or that because their dad or mom hadn't brought home enough money. But they'll always remember the time that they spent.
Mm. 100%.
You know, and the conversations 100%. They had or the games they played or any of those things.
I mean, I think about 100%. My biological father who passed away a long time ago. I remember the other day we used to play a game at the robots, at the traffic lights.
Yeah.
To see who could say green as soon as the light went green. And at that age, I didn't realize he was cheating by, not cheating, but he knew by looking at the opposite robot when it was going to go. But that has stuck with me forever.
Yeah.
Not the bad stuff.
Mm. That's what you
it's
remember.
It's a quality interaction.
Yeah, I
love
it.
That's a quality interaction, for sure.
Roxanne says, I like that. Quality, not quantity, applies to so many things in life. Spot on. All right, Doc, nice to see you. Thanks. We'll check in with you next week.
Nice to see you guys.
Very good.
Dr.
Hanan. All right. It is 7 o'clock, cliffcentral.com, Monday morning. We've got lots more. Bakabantu, Leanne, and I are here with you the whole way through. We're going to talk to Dr. Fatima a little bit later on and lots of other cool things. So it's Doctor and Doctor and Doctor today. We're basically taking care of all the important stuff first thing on a Monday. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back now. CliffCentral.com.